husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today we will be discussing Family Home Evening, Principles and Practices. I'm joined by Cheryl A. Esplin, second counselor in the Primary General Presidency. Welcome, Cheryl.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be back.
It's always a pleasure to have you. And we also have Sharon Eubank, who is a member of the General Relief Society Board. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I was hoping that today we could discuss different ideas about Family Home Evening. In a previous episode, we talked about the importance of Family Home Evening, the prophetic promises that come by doing our best to hold Family Home Evening in whatever circumstance that may entail. I have found in my travels throughout the church on church assignments that the members of the church are hungry to do what is right. That's one of the things that's impressed me the most. They want to do what they're supposed to be doing. They want to do their callings better. They want to improve in every way. But in many cases, they are not quite sure how they go about it. So they may say, I want to do this, but how do I do this? For example, I was in Armenia just a few weeks ago, and a young woman came up, mother of two children, and she was just weeping. And she said, oh, Brother Richardson, I have a strong testimony of Family Home Evening. Please help me to know how to do this so my children can be blessed. I want to do this. I need help. Please help me. And she was just weeping. And she wanted, I could tell, and I could feel the spirit of the moment. She wanted to be such a good mother. And she said that, I want to be a good mother. I want my children to be raised in what the prophets have said can be possible. Help me. And I think that that's kind of the flavor throughout the church in every circumstance, whether it be young adults, whether that even be youth. They're saying, how do we do this? How can I contribute to this experience? And so I'm hoping that we can talk a little bit and draw upon your experience, experiences of others that you have come across dealing with children, with young adults, youth, adults, empty nesters, all of us, of different ideas of how they can accomplish this task. Does that make sense? So what's the first thing that pops into your mind? How can we help individuals? What have you seen work out there? Or what are some good suggestions to help them fulfill this? And I believe it is a responsibility, this responsibility to Family Home Evening.
Well, you know, in the first place, I think we are all busy. We all have too much on our plates. And we feel this burden of prioritizing what's most important to do. And I think we have to recognize that this is one of the essential things.
Okay, good. So recognizing the importance first helps us to prioritize. Is that what you're saying? Because I think this is important. So many of college-age students have this in their mind when I talk to them and interview them. They think that there's going to come a time in life where all of a sudden everything just becomes crystal clear and they're not as busy as they are right now with everything that's going on in their lives. And I am not mocking their pain nor their busyness, but everyone is busy. And they kind of think as soon as you either get married and or have children, then you'll have this great inner desire to do Family Home Evening, and it just comes naturally. And my experience has been, maybe I'm the odd person here. That's not the case. It doesn't just all of a sudden like,
We were talking in a meeting I was in just on Sunday that you do what you love. It turns out you actually show what you love by the things that you do. And so this is a chance for us to say our families are the most important, and you have to carve out the time. It's not going to naturally come. And you, in the end, it's relentless. You do what you love.
That's so good. As a matter of fact, think of the way the Savior taught that. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I'm asking you to do. Love me by doing the things that I do, which my Father does. That's a really good point. And so I think that that's a good element is prioritizing. As a matter of fact, this is A. Theodore Tuttle, who was a member of the 70 years ago, but I've always loved what he said. He said this regarding Family Home Evening: our most flagrant violations perhaps occur in our own houses. He says, we chase worldly pleasures and neglect our own innocent children. And I think, you know, sometimes that's so true, is we take for granted the precious experiences within our own homes because we're distracted, because we become busy, because we have so much to do. And in many cases, that's often coming from the church itself. We're so busy with callings that we sometimes neglect our first and primal responsibility to being able to create that family environment, once again, whatever that situation might be, because we're so busy.
Well, and I have a quote from President Gordon B. Hinckley. He said, you have to establish in your life some sense of prioritizing things, of giving emphasis to the important things and laying aside the unimportant things that will lead to nothing.
That's good. You know, Richard G. Scott once said that Satan's greatest tool against righteous people is distraction. Is important versus not important. I remember Elder Holland once saying, we are in the thick of thin things, you know, and so maybe we need to be in the thick of thick things again. And that's what Family Home Evening does, is helps remind us, retool, reshape our ability to see what is most important. So what are some good practices? What are some good things that pop into mind of things that you've either experienced, heard about, that really help individuals to see how Family Home Evening can come to life?
I mentioned in the last program that my parents were very, as new converts to the church, they were very strong about holding Family Home Evening. And I was thinking back about what did I learn? We did fun things. We did family unity things. But they also did some other important things that were good. One of those things was that they prepared us for the ordinances that were coming up.
Oh, that's good.
So somebody was getting ready for baptism. I specifically remember when I was getting ready to go through the temple and talking as a family about what kinds of things made a difference and what do we remember and what are the scriptures that are prepare us for these ordinances. And this sounds irreverent when I say it now, but it wasn't at the time. After I had been through the temple, my family went on a vacation to Lake Powell because I was just getting ready to leave on my mission. And we had Family Home Evening sitting in inner tubes out in the middle of the lake.
Oh.
And my parents asked me, tell the rest of the family what your impressions are about going through the temple for yourself for the first time. And there we were sitting in that green water with those red cliffs, and I shared my feelings with them as we dangled our feet in the water. But that was important. I was the oldest in their family, and everybody else, they wanted to have that experience. And so I had a chance to share my feelings with the family. So that was one thing they did, was preparing people for ordinances.
That's so good. And I like so many aspects of that, Sharon, of the way that you're unfolding this wonderful story of, is it's not always confined to sofas and it's not always confined to a room. Family home evenings occur often naturally in experiences where, once again, it's a forum providing a means for a greater end. And I love that. That's very good. Cheryl?
We had in one of our board meetings Dr. David Dolaheit. He's a BYU professor of family life at BYU. He came and talked to us, and one of his surveys was very intriguing to me. They had asked families to list 20 religious activities that they did as a family and then to rate them. And so they listed things such as, you know, praying together as a family,
right,
or attending church together.
Probably scripture study, things like
whatever
that.
Whatever they did. The results showed that the most meaningful activity for youth was having religious conversations with their parents.
See, that's so great. As a matter of fact, it becomes real, I think, when they do that. It's a real check. It's not just a sermon. It's not a lesson, so to speak. And I think that this is the power of what home is it really validates the experience of becoming real. This is what real life is like, not just church life, but these conversations that become natural. Now, I'm going to build upon this, and this might sound a little off the wall, but in our family home evenings, well, actually, this is a great blessing for prophets, seers, and revelators. I remember we were reading through some things, and we came across a quote from Marion D. Hanks in conference talking about the importance of bearing testimony to family members. He said, far too often, those who need to hear your testimony the most are those who rarely hear it. Your own family. And I think of my own family, 7 children in my family. The only time I really heard my siblings bear their testimony is if it happened to be from the pulpit during fast and testimony meeting, or if they were of similar age in a youth experience. So my wife and I counseled together and said, we should make this a literal part of our family home evening. So, you know, you see these outlines in church materials, opening prayer, opening song, you know, kind of a thing, a lesson and an activity. And so we instituted for our family, we put testimony in there. And so we said, we should do this. So every week, someone in our family will bear their testimony. Our children, this is where they learned, rather than whispering in their ears in the pulpit, this is where they learned to bear their testimony, was in family home evening. And I'm telling you, it was a It has been a great blessing to us. And every once in a while, we'll do community testimony. This is what I mean by the conversation part, is we'll say, okay, this is family testimony today. And so usually whoever's conducting, they'll say, I believe in this. And then they say one sentence, and then we go to the next person sitting. They say, you know what? I've had an experience like this. I believe in this. And it's been it's almost like a conversational testimony experience. I don't know if that makes sense. Mm. It has been a great blessing. Elder Bednar talked about reemphasizing this experience just in conference recent, of talking about the importance of sharing and blessing our families through testimony. Some may think that's not a family home evening agenda item, but it worked for our family because we heard prophetic counsel and thought, how can we do that? Let's implement that. And it has been of the richest experiences where our family has been able to not just say, I believe this is true, or I'm grateful for my family, but it's been rich saying, I want you to know that I love you, not just I love my family, because we're all sitting there together. What a fun experience that has been.
As you and Cheryl talk about this, I was thinking about, I just read that Elder Christofferson was in Argentina a couple weeks ago, and he was talking to the saints. And one of the things he said was, he said, when I've done the best in reading scriptures with my children, it has been to pause and reading a special verse and tell them, children, what I have just read is true. He said, it's a simple testimony. It isn't formal, but it's an expression of the parent that influences the child. And that's what Cheryl was talking about,
yeah,
those gospel conversations.
And I have been strengthened by my children's expression. So it's not just parental dissemination of spiritual knowledge and light, but it comes in the reverse order as well. Just very rich experiences. So allowing others to participate in even giving the so-called lesson in whatever form that takes is making sure that all members of the group or of the family have an opportunity to have a voice and express some of our most meaningful lessons, so to speak, in our family home evenings over the years have come from the voice of our children who have something meaningful to say and share. And it's mm-hmm. been very touching.
You know, just a few weeks ago, I read in the newspaper a recent study done by the Fuller Youth Institute. And they found that strong relationships and good communication between family members build what they called sticky faith.
Well, that's interesting.
The kind of faith that kids will keep and then live by. Hmm. I thought that was interesting.
Well, I think of in the book of Proverbs, it talks about train up a child. And it says, and they will not depart far from the path. And the very aspect that the word there is training is important to me. Training is something that's not just done once. It's done something that's over and over, practicing, training. We stay in shape. You can't just go and exercise once and say, that's good for the year. Wow, thank goodness I did that when I was 15. I should be good for the rest of my life. It's a continual experience of training, teaching, learning over and over again. And I think that that's why it will stick. Things that we do frequently, they stick.
You know, I think about my daughter telling me one time, she said, I know what I teach my children and I know what we allow in our home, but I have no control when they go to school and what they hear at school and when they go to their friend's house and what they're learning out here. And she said, it's scary.
Yeah.
Because there's so much I don't have control over. And I remember one of the brethren talking about going to a country that was a godless country where their children would go to school and learn everything that was opposite of what they believed and
right.
stood for. This particular general authority said, well, how do you handle that? How do you do that when they're all day long, they're away learning these things that you don't want them to learn? And he said, you know, when they come home, that's what we teach them, the truth.
All right.
And so this is what, you know, the value of home evening is. This world is just coming at our children through media in so many ways.
That's
and
so
teaching
good.
Them things that we don't, we would just assume they don't hear. But in our home and in these home evenings, that's a time that we can reach out and teach them truth and teach them.
That's good. And this isn't just a time where we teach values, but we also teach within the home and in this natural, meaningful setting, we teach them to value. So it's not just teach about values, but we teach them to value through living. As you were talking, I don't know why this happened, but I just had an imagery flash through my mind of what I might call, and this is not meant to be irreverent because this was a sacred time period, maybe perhaps one of the first and most meaningful family home evenings, which is what we often call the Last Supper. You know, here you have a gathering together of disciples in an intimate setting. So much took place during that time period, from the washing of feet of the service experience, instruction. I'm sure there was testimony bearing that was going on there. We see that throughout the book of John in 17, all the way up to the Garden of Gethsemane, preparing. This is why I think, Cheryl, when you're talking about this, preparing these individuals to be in the world but not to be of the world. How did the Savior do that? Gather them together to teach them, to nurture them in a meaningful setting, to serve them together. They sang together. They supped together. They covenanted one with another. I can't help but think, in my own mind, is you want to talk about a model family home evening. Think of the preceding events prior to that of what took place in Gethsemane and the crucifixion. That is a preparation time.
I'm so glad you brought that up. We don't ever talk really about the Last Supper as that kind of a council. But it was. And you can see he was preparing those apostles for the leadership that they would have to take on in the church. And in a much smaller way, family home evening, I'm thinking of my own family. We learned about how councils work through that. And from the simple way of saying that my parents said, where are we going to go on vacation this summer?
Oh, yeah.
And having people have ideas, and you can only choose one, and everybody's making their case, but you come to a unanimous decision. And we learned about that through family home evenings.
That's so good.
Giving and taking. And
yeah.
And
yes.
Learning how to get along in the experience. My wife loves to calendar during family home evening. Now, I'll admit, that's not my favorite part of family home evening. But she actually runs our family in such meaningful ways. But I think of what you're saying, Sharon, is our children are learning of how we are able to schedule together. And also what you brought up, Cheryl, is to prioritize, because sometimes we'll have conflicts in schedules where we have so many events that are taking place, from the high school to college events to family events to church events, et cetera, because we're all busy people like you are. The greater lesson is, how do we give and take to make our most important unit, our together, work and prioritize what's most important? Mm-hmm. Now, I have a unique opportunity. I have a member of the primary general presidency here. What might you share in ideas that will help those with young children? In your experiences, what kind of family home evening things can they be doing to involve primary age children that would be helpful? Just an idea or two.
You know, that's interesting that you had asked that, because one thing that I was interested in as I prepared for this was to just jot down some of the resources.
Oh, great.
And I thought it was interesting, but a few years ago, maybe about 10 years ago, I can't even remember who asked them. Somebody here at church headquarters asked several families to take that family home evening resource book that you've got sitting there.
Right.
And they asked them to, for 3 months, teach lessons out of this book. And, you know, they had kind of set it aside, which we do.
We do. It's been out for almost 30
right.
years, since 1983.
And so you use it, and then you kind of set it aside. And they said it was amazing, the experiences they have of using that resource book. And they loved it.
Really?
It was just a fresh approach, because they hadn't used it for so long. And each of these families then just talked about their experience in going back to that resource book.
You know, I'm glad you bring that up, because this resource book does have age difference, mm-hmm. you know, specific experiences and opportunities and stuff. So that's nice to know.
And they loved the adaptations to families like you just talked about, but also the object lessons of how the lesson was introduced, and just the long list of different topics that they could just go in and choose from. Other families talked about using Preach My Gospel. And we can never forget the valuable resources that the church magazines offer.
I'm so glad you bring that up.
That Friend magazine is amazing.
So you mean it's not just for children?
Exactly. There's just so many good things in there. In fact, we have a part of the Friend magazine called Bringing Primary Home, where there are activities and stories that reinforce the sharing time lesson for the week, for the month.
Oh, that is great.
And so that's so valuable for parents. And they can be connected to what their children are learning in primary and reinforce these same principles. A resource that I just heard about recently and my children are excited about is on LDS.org. There's some scripture stories. Have you used those for your grandchildren or children? And they are amazing. For example, in the story of Enos, they have just taken these simplified scripture stories and they have put them to video. And Enos, when he talks about going into the forest, you can hear little birds in the background. And then the soft song of a child's prayer is playing as background music.
They are lovely.
It's just, it's tender, and children love to listen to these. So that's another one. You know, the nursery manual is a great resource.
Oh, I love the nursery manual. That's one of my favorite manuals, actually.
In fact, I know many parents that just hand that nursery manual to their children and say, okay, you're in charge of the lesson tonight. Here's a lesson you can give. And an eight-year-old can give a lesson.
Well, I've actually used the nursery manual ideas on my teenagers as well, and they work just fine.
Yes.
You know, and so
yes.
This is a nice element here is we can adapt all of these resources, and there are plenty of resources. We don't have to turn to the internet every single time. The church is producing wonderful resources that are available on LDS.org and other areas that really help us. I think of Mormon Messages and Mormon Messages for Youth.
My children love that.
Oh, we use those in Family Unite consistently because they're warm. They are sensitive, inspirational, they are instructive, but often they are always linked with prophets, seers, and revelators, and so you get the prophetic mantle and promise therewith.
I have to give a plug in here for Faith in God, Duty to God, Personal Progress. Oh. These are great resources for family home evenings.
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned that. As many cases, we use those elements in our own family home evening. Personal Progress has been a main staple for us in many cases of the way that we form some of the things we do in family home evening, as well as Fulfilling Your Duty to God, because I've had children in both camps, and it has been a wonderful resource. Now, I also have today a member of the General Board for the Relief Society. Sometimes when we think of family home evening, we get this image where some people have a male-dominated experience where they call on people and they say, this is the way it's supposed to be, etc., which is contrary to the very essence of what family home evening is about. So many quotes. I mean, there's so many. We could not even brush the surface of them of how many times the spiritual climate is set by both individuals. But in your experience, Sharon, and having the opportunity to be amongst the saints, especially with the Relief Society sisters, both those who are in family situation with children, some without children, some who are single mothers, some who are single, what role and what might you offer in your experience to help individuals, women especially, from your expertise dealing with family home evening?
I like that you were talking about sometimes we have an odd perception of the way that the priesthood conducts a family home evening, for example. One of the most important things that will come up in the future of the church is these conflicting messages right now about the role of men and women and how they interact in a family. And as the world changes its perspective on those things and the gospel stays the same, that conflict exists greater and greater because we get different messages from that. One of the great resources that we have is the doctrine of the church that a husband and a wife are equally yoked in an eternal unit and marriage. And the way that they practice that and show that relationship is partly in family home evening.
All right.
And so while a husband or somebody else, well, a husband is going to preside and he is the spokesman for that family, but that has nothing to do with he is above the wife and that they as a unit together share the responsibility of leading their family. They are a divine pair and the Lord sets that pattern. So the church has always taught that in the scriptures, and you'll see good examples of that. But one of the great resources for the church is the new book that was commissioned by the First Presidency that has come out in Relief Society called Daughters in My Kingdom. One of the great benefits of that is that it shows stories and it gives doctrine about what does it mean to be a woman in this church? And if you're a woman that happens not to be married, are you cut out of the family circle? And one of the great things that it does is it tells story after story after story of people from all over this church, all over the global church, that say, this is how the gospel works in my life and how I use it as a woman. So Daughters in My Kingdom is a great resource because it's filled with stories that we haven't heard before, which is a nice thing.
That's so nice. And as a matter of fact, you mentioned about being equally yoked within the marital relationship and parenting. The imagery there is so powerful because it's not just that they're side by side. Sometimes I've heard people say, see, we're just side by side. The imagery of yoked is actually that is a work. experience. In other words, both are working together. It's not just you're standing side by side and having somebody out there doing all the work and I'm conducting, you know, kind of, or presiding. I hear that quite a bit. It's, wait a second, actually, you're pulling your share as far as that goes, and you're pulling together. And sometimes one, if you look at the literal system with an ox, as far as one will be pulling more because of the terrain. And that's not that they are slacking by any means, because the other one is balancing. And so the yoking there is responsibility side by side and both performing tasks to pull that out. And by the way, that's not just between, I think, husband and wife. It's in any context of gospel living and family.
I believe
equally
that
yoked within a ward, equally yoked within a family of siblings, etc., of being able to pull that apart. And my wife and I were just talking about this 2 weeks ago about Daughters in My Kingdom, and we both love it. We read it and we share stories together that we glean from that. And a little bit sad, to be honest, that more sisters aren't aware, and for me, more brothers aren't aware of it either, and are delving in to learn about contributions made by women in every circumstance throughout history that have developed great family experiences. That's so wonderful.
One thing I wanted to mention just as we close is that I don't ever want to forget just the resource of personal revelation. You have all of these rich resources, but sometimes you need a little revelation to say, which one is the most important one to use right now? And to go ahead and ask through the Holy Ghost, what does my family need right now? And rather than rely on ideas that are on the internet or things that we've heard, ask the Lord, what do we need? And I have my own testimony that the Lord can bring things to our mind that we never would have thought of if we asked.
That's so important. As a matter of fact, I look at my own experience with family home evening. Here I was, a newlywed, just barely getting married, and we were so naive, and yet we wanted to do what was right so badly. And so here comes our first Monday, and we're thinking, we're supposed to have family home evening. Awkward. So here I'm sitting there with Lisa, and we're looking across the table. Well, who should say the opening prayer? Lisa, how about you? You know, there's just two of us. But yet we were so naive, we thought we were supposed to be having that. One of the things that came about that experience is we were blessed because we were trying hard. We didn't have a clue as how to do it effectively. But what you're bringing up is so important is we counseled together. We started studying what the prophets have asked us to do. We used that time every Monday night, just the two of us, to counsel together of how we should build our marriage for the future and what our family may look like in the future, even though we didn't have any children. And then as our time has gone on, is using prophetic counsel in conferences. And there are a lot of tidbits of counsel dealing with families and marriages and circumstances, whether that's extended family, to counsel together to find a way, how will this work for us and how can we implement that? So everything from, I mentioned earlier, adding testimony. We have a little family constitution in our family that we developed actually in family home evening. We read from it every Monday night and then ask, how are we doing on this? How can we improve? These are things that we counseled about just in being able to find ways to make things work for us. And everyone is different, but I am confident if we seek to do the best that we can, the path will be made evident and we will all fit within that.
Simplicity and consistency, I think, are two words that will help us make it happen.
I agree. And I appreciate your comments of pointing out that there are many, many resources that allow us to find ideas. I'm hoping that with that hunger I mentioned earlier to do what is right, but also the hunger to know how to do that. I am confident that everyone can be blessed, whether it be a family home evening resource book. Teaching No Greater Call has a section in teaching in the families, some really great elements there. There is even a site on LDS.org for family home evening. And so the resource guide is there as well as different ideas. There's so many things, and I am grateful for these resources. But even, I don't even know if I should say more importantly, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. Even more importantly are the living prophets, seers, and revelators who are attuned to the needs of what families, what individuals need in this wonderful experience. And I know that they can bless and help us so that we will know. And we learn from the scriptures that while the scriptures will tell us and the prophets will tell us, the Holy Ghost will show us in all things that we must do. I can't thank you enough for your help, but more importantly, for the lives that you are living. It's evident from your comments and just sitting across the table and hearing you speak of your, I'll just call it your testimonies of your life living, of the importance that comes in family living in whatever way, shape, or form that we are presented with. And it's a great blessing. So thank you so much for helping. And I'm looking forward to future opportunities where we can perhaps even talk more about this topic in ways that we can help others. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.